Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. We are broadcasting live today from the Hot Chocolate Sparrow in Orleans on Cape Cod. Just before the break, you heard some live music from singer-songwriter and longtime Cape resident Patty Larkin. She's here with us today. We'll hear a little bit more from her later in the show.
And we've been talking this hour about the changing Cape, including a major demographic shift that's underway, as many of the region's young adults choose to leave.
But it's not just the Cape's population that's changing. It's the ocean around it as well. That's had a profound impact on the fishing industry, which we'll hear about in a moment. But first, the mysteries of the ocean depths.
And for that, we turn to David Gallo. He's the director of special projects for the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. He's worked on a lot of different projects there, from mapping the Titanic shipwreck to searching for lost planes, among other undersea explorations. And he joins us now. And David Gallo, welcome to Radio Boston. Great to have
you. Thank you, Anthony.
I love what you have to say about the ocean, and I was looking at a TED Talk that you did, I guess not too long ago, where you come up with this remarkable statistic that we know only about 6% of what's there under the ocean.
Sure. Yeah, you can stretch it to 7, but it's
it's astounding when you really think about it. I mean, there's so much there left to explore.
Yeah.
What do you want to know?
Well, you know, even in that few percent that we have explored, that... Yeah. 7%. We find the world's greatest mountain range, the tallest mountains, the deepest valleys, more life than the tropical rainforest, underwater rivers, underwater lakes, underwater waterfalls. None of this stuff predicted, but we find it in the darkness of the deep sea. And so you have to wonder, is that other 90-something percent empty? You know, did we hit all the high points, and is it just empty? Or is it full of surprises? And we know that that's true. Almost every expedition comes back with something surprising and sometimes revolutionary.
There's something I want you to go back and just explain a little bit. Underwater rivers and waterfalls.
Yeah.
I'm having trouble getting my mind around that.
Yeah. So if you go, we have currents at the surface. We're familiar with those.
Mm-hmm.
They're basically rivers that run through the surface, and it's driven by density. Hot water floats, salty water, cold salty water sinks, fresh water floats. And so in the bottom of the ocean sometimes you get these cold streams of water coming out of the Arctic and Antarctic, coming across the deep ocean basins. Sometimes they go over huge cliffs. And there's one that's between Iceland and Greenland called the Denmark Straits, about 5 times higher than Angel Falls in Venezuela. Mm. So an immense underwater waterfall.
It's really amazing. How has our understanding about the ocean changed, say, in the last decade?
Huge.
Huge.
Yeah. You know, now we're starting to realize things that we suspected, that no matter where we live on the planet, whether it's Cape Cod or the heart of Kansas, we have a relationship with the sea. What we put on our ground, on our city streets, in our golf courses, in our backyards, eventually it makes its way into the ocean.
Yeah.
And it's not good for the ocean.
Right.
On the other hand, the ocean reaches out through things like hurricanes, tsunamis, typhoons, floods, droughts, weather, climate change. No matter where you live, the ocean impacts you. So we now recognize that. But there's 3 big points. The air we breathe, every other breath of fresh air you take, you can thank the ocean for that. The food you eat, there's 2 billion plus people on this planet that depend on the ocean for food. And the water we drink, more than 95% of the water that we drink, this stuff that we take for granted, comes out of the ocean, evaporation from the sea. So the air we breathe, the food we eat, the water we drink, all dependent on that body of water that we've hardly explored, let alone understand.
So you've spoken about a mission to bring the ocean to the people. I mean, when we talk about exploration, explain a little bit more about that. What does that mean, and why is it so important?
Yeah, we want to try not to find the next Jacques Cousteau, but to wake up that little bit of Jacques Cousteau that's in all of us. You know, we're born with that little bit of curiosity, actually with a lot of curiosity. And there's all sorts of gimmicky stuff to try to get people to understand what deep ocean exploration is all about, what we see. And we can put cameras out there, but, you know, it's not the same. You don't have it turns out to be TV to me almost all the time. It's just you're watching TV. But you have the technology now. Kids have it on Xbox to get together with a global group of friends and explore a virtual world. So if we can make that virtual world based on real data, like Titanic, we've got hundreds of thousands of images of Titanic. Put it together, make the virtual Titanic, and then with your joystick on an Xbox or a PlayStation, you can meet up with your friends and explore for the first time this wonderful underwater site and get that feeling, what it's like to see something for the first time and react to that.
You know, I like it that you mentioned Jacques Cousteau, and you say you don't necessarily want sort of the next Jacques Cousteau, and yet I'm thinking back to when I was a kid, and Jacques Cousteau and what was that great TV show, Voyage to the Bottom of the Sea? Was that what
it
was called?
Yeah, the Voyage of 20,000 Leagues.
There were sort of ideas and programs that excited the imagination about what's under there, sort of in the same way that you might say President Kennedy excited the imagination about, you know, going to the moon and back. Do you feel that we need something like that to excite the imagination?
Yeah, absolutely. I think we need some leadership to get us to understand, one, how important the oceans are to our very survival. That's number one. We take the oceans for granted. Mm-hmm. But number two is to make it exciting again. Tell stories. You know, it's the equations and formulas, that stuff can come later. Right now we need to tell sea stories about what the mysteries are out there beneath the sea. It's the pirates. It's the mysterious underwater landscapes and the creatures that you've never dreamed of before that I think grabs the kids' imagination.
Tell me about a creature, because that's another thing you talk about, although you do it with slides in your TED show. But tell me about these creatures or about one creature.
Yeah, well, that one creature, that's Roger Hanlon at the Marine Biological Laboratory. Yeah. He was kind enough to let me show that at TED, and it's been very popular ever since. An octopus, cephalopod that can camouflage itself not only by changing color patterns, but by changing the texture of its skin. And in that little video clip on the TED and TED Talks, you watch this animal just emerge out of some of this underwater landscape, and you swear it wasn't there. Then all of a sudden, boom, it's there. They're fascinating creatures in their ability to do that. And they can shapeshift. They can look like a coconut. They can look like a piece of coral. These are pretty amazing animals.
You're involved with so many interesting projects that you've undertaken with the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution. One of the projects was to map the Titanic wreckage.
Sure.
So tell me a little bit about this project and why it's so important to document and map rather than bring the remains, I don't know what, out from under the sea in order to display them in the museum.
Right, that's a possibility. Well, you know, Woods Hole, a team from Woods Hole led by Bob Ballard found Titanic 1985, went back in 1986. And our goal then was leave everything where it sits. It's a memorial site, grave site, let it sit. Then after that, a French-American team went back out, recovered a lot of artifacts. We were dead set against it until we went to the museum exhibits. And then, you know, we said, wow, that's a pretty powerful way to tell the story of Titanic. So now you've got the Titanic sitting out there, this great icon of the deep. It's been there for 100 years. It's getting old. The sea's taking its toll. Do we let the sea have it? And just eventually, then the other thing is we don't know if it's going to be around for another 100 years, another 1,000 years, another 10,000 years. So no one's ever done the real hard scientific research. It's all been sort of touristy things. Look at the bow, look at the bridge, the grand staircase, the propellers, and out. So we actually made a map of Titanic we went out 5 miles away and we mapped every single pair of shoes and cup and saucer and everything that was on that ship. So now we've got finally a database that you can start to work from, so you at least know what's out there and you can begin to talk about managing it from there. It's not our decision to make. That decision's for other people to make, but we've done our job mapping it. And that's exactly the technology. The beauty of Woods Hole is that we go out and do one experiment at Titanic with the technology, a certain technology, a certain team, certain techniques. And that's what allowed us to find Air France 447, the same teams, the same technology, same techniques. So we learned a lot from Titanic.
Fascinating stuff. Tell us what's the next big project for you.
We've got a lot going on. You know, we've got 1,000 people at Woods Hole, 300 projects at any given time. We've got people on the North Pole, South Pole, mountaintops, river valleys. It's an ocean planet. So to me, the big things are, you know, we've got a big push to go deep in the ocean, to the very bottom of the ocean where Jim Cameron went, and to explore what we call the Hadal depths, the very deep benthos as opposed to the cosmos. And then at the same time, we're trying to understand weather patterns and how the oceans really have an impact on atmospheric patterns. That's crucial to being able to understand what comes next. So it's split. One, the really exciting stuff, exploration, and two, the really important stuff.
Well, fascinating. I mean, exploration of outer space has always been thrilling, but forget that. Let's explore the depths of this planet first. David Gallo, Director of Special Projects at the Woods Hole Oceanographic Institution, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you very much, Anthony.